All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33 for the message this evening. After we finish back here, Kevin said, Pastor, one of these waders leaks. And I said, it's a good thing I got the one that didn't leak. Man, why didn't somebody tell me that before, you know? They wait till after to let me know that. There's two pairs of waders back there. And I think they told Kevin, I think they bought those for the sons of Anak is what I think. They're huge. I mean, I could put two of me in those things. But anyway, it went well, so thank the Lord. And I'm dry, so thank the Lord. All right, Psalm 33. Let me take you back for just a moment to Psalm 1. Go back just a moment to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. And here, David says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So right here is the way the book of Psalms begins. And he is, in verse 1, the very first thing David does is explain to us how a person, how a man or a woman can be blessed of God. And so blessed is the man. And this, he's in the negative in verse 1, but then he gets to the positive in verse 2. And he says, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord. So there it is, folks. Got to get in a book. If you want to be blessed of God, you've got to get in your Bible. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. All right, now go back over to Psalm 33 and notice with me, please, verse 12. And in verse 12, David says, blessed, so same word, all right, exact same word. And he says in this one, blessed is the nation. So in chapter, or not chapter, but in song 1, Psalm 1, David said, blessed is the man. And now in verse 12 of the 33rd chapter, David says, blessed is the nation. And here is the way to get God's blessings upon the nation, upon the country. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, that is true for Israel, but it's also true for the United States of America. And that's true for Canada, and that's true for Luxembourg, and that's true for Nigeria. I mean, it doesn't matter what nation you're speaking about. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. All right, let's pray. And then I want to speak to you kind of generically tonight. And I want to share some thoughts with you about America and where we came from and where we should be going. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then the message, God bless America. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for what we witnessed here a little while ago. And Father, thank you for Mason and Marissa, and thank you for their faith and both of them giving testimony that they know the Savior. And so, Father, we rejoice in their decision. and then to follow you in believers' baptism. And I ask you, please, Father, to strengthen them and help them now to grow and to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And Father, I pray that you will put your hand upon them and use them in some way, some fashion. So, Father, we just commit those two precious souls into your hands and ask you to bless them in a rich way. And now, Father, I pray that you will bless the message, and I pray that you will speak to our hearts tonight, and just pray that the Lord will be honored in what we say. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. I want to speak to you tonight on our country. I am sad for our country tonight. I am so sad that that we are in the shape that we're in. I don't know how many of you realize what is happening right now, but there are some serious things happening from the standpoint that you have. Freedom of speech being hindered. That's sad. I never thought that I would live to see the day when freedom of speech was stripped from certain people that the left does not like. It's sad. It grieves my soul. And I think that that is just a foretaste of what is to come if they continue and if Joe Biden is confirmed as sworn in as the president of the United States. Now, folks, our forefathers came to this country, to this land, where they could be free to serve God in the way they chose to serve, not by the mandate of a bunch of bureaucrats, not by the mandate of a bunch of politicians who have their pockets padded by some kind of a state-run church. No, they came for religious freedom, and they came to be able to say what was on their minds and what was on their hearts. Now, there is no doubt America is not perfect, but praise the Lord, we are to this day, right now, we're still a free nation. And folks, we cannot take that freedom lightly, especially in light of what is happening all across our land. I don't know if you realize it or not, but every major nation in the world has had at least one major change in government since America was founded in 1776. I don't know if you realize that, but that's true. Every nation on the planet has had some kind, every major nation on the planet has had some kind of a change, major change in government since America was founded in 1776. France, Japan, China, Italy, Russia, Spain, England, Germany, I mean, you name it. You name it. And that country has had some kind of a change of government since our nation was formed a little over 400 years ago. All right, now, think about this, folks. Think about this. Our country has managed, despite a civil war. Despite a civil war. Now, that would have destroyed most countries. But our nation fought their way through that and put the pieces back together again. Our nation survived the Great Depression and two world wars and the two Cold Wars and the Middle Eastern wars of the last 40 or 50 years. And we have survived Vietnam, and we survived the rebellion and the revolution of the 60s, and then we have survived greedy politicians, and we have survived corrupt judges and corrupt politicians, and we have survived much liberal thinking and the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States has through it all survived and remained as strong as granite. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm nervous right now. And you should be as well. When you got politicians who can, by their own word, change our Constitution. That First Amendment says that you and I have the right to freedom of speech. That Constitution says that you and I have the right to go to whatever church we want to go to. Well, folks, listen. We're headed down a road where they could sit in authority and tell us that you can't go to that church of the open door because we don't like what that guy says up there, because that is exactly what they're saying about President Trump on Twitter and on Facebook and on a couple other of the internet medias. So, folks, we're in trouble. I hope you realize just where we are as a country. Yes, our people have suffered at times, and our people have agonized over the death of our sons and cried over the loss of our loved ones, and we have grieved when the caskets have come home from across the seas, but through it all, we still stand. Now, my text says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In another verse, over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 34, Solomon said, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, let me show you tonight where we came from as a country. Let me take you back to some of our founding days and let me share with you some of the things upon which our great nation was established and built. So, number one, where did we come from? Where did we come from? Go study American history, and when you do, you cannot help but see where we came from. It is as obvious as the nose on your face that those people came across the sea, across the ocean, with the purpose and the intent of establishing a land where they could worship God as their conscience led them, where they could serve the Lord and do what the Lord wanted them to do. They did not want to be told like they were in England and in Germany and in Ireland and in all the other countries. No, they came over here for the express purpose of freedom of religion. On November the 11th, 1620. Now think about that, folks. As many moons ago, 1620, those brave men and women who crossed the Atlantic on the Mayflower drew up what became known as the Mayflower Compact. Here is how that compact begins. Listen carefully to this. In the name of God, amen. Now, it didn't say a woman after it said amen. No, it said in the name of God, so be it. That's what amen means. It has nothing to do with gender. Please understand that. I was never so more embarrassed for my country than when I heard that. What a shame. What a crying shame that you don't have enough sense. And this guy is in Congress, folks. Now you tell me he doesn't know the difference between amen and a woman. I mean, if he thinks that they are in agreement with one another, that man's in Congress. We need help. And that's what's running our country now. America better wake up. They said, in the name of God, amen. Then they said, we whose names are underwritten, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Amen. Now, isn't that something? They got on that ship and came across the Atlantic, and they were told, when you get out there where you see that horizon out there, you're going to fall off. You're just going to go out there and you're going to fall off the end of the earth and we'll never see you again. Well, they didn't fall off. And they came to America and they came here for the purpose of the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, isn't that something, folks? These people came to America because they wanted to establish a country where they could freely serve the God of heaven. And folks came to America realizing and searching for liberty. William Penn and the Quakers, he was the leader of the Quakers. They came here and were simply because they were persecuted in Europe. And so when they came here, we have a little state, many of you live in it, just right above Maryland, and it's called Pennsylvania, named after William Penn and a great preacher of the gospel. And so William Penn came and Pennsylvania was established. And then Roger Williams came. Roger Williams was a great hellfire and brimstone preacher. And Roger Williams established the state of Rhode Island. And then the Baptists started showing up. And they came in droves and settled all over the East Coast, but mainly in Virginia. And then the Methodists started to come, and they brought with them the great revivals of the 18th century and early 19th century. And the Declaration of Independence recognized the purpose for which these people came to this country. Listen to the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. It says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political which have connected them with one with another, and to assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitles them. Now, did you hear that? They said, think about this, folks. They said that that they recognized the laws of nature and that they were directed, those laws of nature were directed by God, and that their responsibility was to the laws of God. Wow. Man, I wish some folks had that kind of insight today, don't you? Now, they also said this. These words are very familiar to you. Here's what they said. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. In other words, how could you argue these things? That's what they're saying. How in the world could anybody with any common sense argue these things? And so they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator, and they capitalize the word Creator. Understand that. They were talking here about God. And they said that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Now, what does the word unalienable mean? Well, it means that they cannot be taken away. You see, they weren't given to us by man. If man gives you rights, man can take them away. But if God gives you rights, man cannot do anything with them. They are unalienable. And so I want you to realize that. These people realized, our founding fathers realized that God and our country were founded upon the belief that God created everything and the acknowledgement that God was our Creator. They didn't believe in the theory of evolution back then. They believed that God made everything. And our country was founded upon the belief that God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, that these men and women who serve in Washington, D.C. today as our elected officials would all go back to the very beginning, to the founding documents of our nation, and realize where we came from. You see, folks, the Constitution itself declares America as one nation under God. One nation under God. And yet look at where we are today. And folks, that's why America became a great nation. That's why America became the leader of the world. That's why America has been the protector and the food bank and the rescuer, and you name it, America has done it. Why? Because America was founded upon the basic principles that God has established in His Word. God is a gracious God. And when that nation recognizes God, that nation becomes a blessed and a giving and a caring nation. Folks, as those brilliant men, as they pieced together the Constitution, there was a debate after several days, and they were deadlocked, and tempers were flaring, and it was a Thursday, and late in the afternoon, in the midst of folks standing and yelling at one another and shouting at one another. Ben Franklin stood and he said, gentlemen, he said, let's all go home. Let's take tomorrow off and Saturday off. And let's take Sunday and go to the house of God. And while we're taking the time off, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray and ask God Almighty what He would have us do. Everyone committed to going home and praying for the country and praying for their differences to be resolved. And when they came back on Monday morning, these men, our founding fathers, were able to work out their differences as they prayed for and sought after God's guidance. And folks, that is why America became great. That is why America was so blessed of God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, that's where we came from. But now, secondly, where are we today? Well, I think all of us know where we are today. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. You know, folks, there is a fine line drawn, evidently, in Washington, D.C., as to what treason actually entails. I don't know how you feel about it, but when I saw Pelosi last year at the State of the Union address take the president's speech and rip it to pieces in front of the national television, I just thought, wow, that's treasonous right there. But nobody seemed to think that it was. And you know, there's been a lot of things that have gone on. You know, that little guy out in California with the long neck. What's his name? I can't think of his name. Huh? Yeah, Adam Schiff. That's it. You know, he got on national TV day after day after day after day, and he lied. He lied. No consequences. No consequences. And they've all done it. That whole judicial committee sat there and lied themselves silly. No consequences. And now look at where we are. Folks, listen, you better pray for our country now. What is happening here are the first steps to tyranny. They are the first steps to tyranny. You mark my word on that. If God does not intervene in a great way, we are on the road to disaster as a nation. They're going to pack the courts. They said they would. They're going to pack the Supreme Court so that there will never be an issue that conservatives will win. Mark it down. They're going to make statehood out of Washington, D.C., the swamp, and they're going to make Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands and maybe even Guam. And they're going to handpick who runs. And then when the election is held, they're going to cheat again. Just like they did on November the 3rd. And just like they did last Tuesday. You say, well, why did they cheat last Tuesday? Because they got away with it on November the 3rd. That's why. Folks, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And if America does not wake up, it might be too late. I don't know. But I can tell you this, the wickedness and the sinfulness of our nation has become greater than the righteous influence of the church. We're being overrun by evil. And now look at what they've done. If you think that this COVID thing was an accident, I've got some oceanfront property in Kansas I'd like to talk to you about. This was not an accident. And look at what it's done to churches all over this country. And now Biden is saying his first 100 years, he's going to shut the country down again. You wait and see. You wait and see. What are we going to do, folks? You say, Pastor, what do we do? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But we're in trouble. And as a result, for many years now, we have tolerated the sin, and the sinners have tolerated us. Why has our nation become obsessed with immorality? Why has our country become obsessed with nudity and wickedness? I'll tell you why. Because over the last 60 years, we've allowed it. That's why. We've allowed it. Why has our nation become a nation of drug addicts and drunks? I'll tell you why. It's because we, for the last 60 years, have tolerated it. We have not stood up against any of it. Why has our nation become a land of rebellion? And the reason is because for the last 60 years or so, we have allowed rebellion to go on. Why is our country now becoming a socialist country? It is because we have allowed the socialists into our country. And it shouldn't be. We're going to lose our nation if we're not careful. And folks, I honestly believe the failure is in the pulpit of America. When churches that are led by liberals and infidels, and those who deny the Bible is the Word of God, and those who deny the deity of Christ, and they mock the resurrection, and they make fun of the cross, and they take our precious Bible, and they twist it, and they turn it, and they chop it up, and make it say what they want it to say instead of what God wants it to say. Well, then we're in trouble. And that's where we are. That's where we are. You see, when our churches started ordaining women preachers, we got in trouble. And let me just stop right here and say, for the record, women have no business preaching. You see, they're going to throw you off the internet. So, that doesn't faze me a bit. You know what? Listen, folks. The Bible says that the pastor, the bishop, is to be the husband of one wife. Now, pray tell me how a woman can meet that qualification. She can't. The husband of one wife. When we started ordaining homosexuals, oh, God help us. God help us. I mean, those jokers used to stay in the closet, and now they're in the classroom, and they're in Congress, and they're standing up behind pulpits. Folks, it's no wonder we're in trouble. It's no wonder we're under the judgment of God Almighty. when they took the blood out of their theology, when they said, sign the card and you will be a member of our church, and they did not preach on sin any longer, and did not preach on hell any longer, and did not preach the righteousness of God any longer, and did not preach on repentance any longer, and did not preach on judgment any longer, then our nation has found itself in trouble. It's that simple, folks. It's just that simple. This is a spiritual war that is being waged today. Please understand that. Now, I know that probably some free thinkers, you're not liking very much what I'm saying right now. But tough rocks. Somebody needs to say it. Somebody needs to say it. If they come in here and say, well, you have to hire a homosexual on your staff. You get the newspaper and you watch it. And if it says on the headlines, hell has frozen over, you'll know I've done that. But you ain't going to read that, because I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Folks, listen, we better get our convictions back or our country's gone. It's gone. And the drift of America away from God is first and foremost caused by biblical compromise. And that's why, folks, I have stood in this pulpit and I've said to you over and over and over, we're not going to compromise here. I'm not going to bring in the boogie-woogie singers and we're going to sing for 45 minutes and then have a little 3-minute ditty tapped on to the end of it and then pat you all on the back and tell you how wonderful you are and send you out to your houses. I'm not going to do that. We're not going to go down that road. We're not painting the inside of this thing black. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of leaning towards making it more whiter. You know? Make it more light. That's what we're about, light. That's what this book is, folks, light. Sit still. All right, so what do we do, folks? Well, you know, thank God for the few churches and the few preachers and the few Christians who still believe the book. Thank God for a few schools that still believe the book. Thank God for a few places where the gospel is still held high. Folks, here's what we need to do. You ready? Let's pray for genuine revival. It's got to start in us. It's got to start in your heart and in my heart. Genuine, God-sent, personal revival. That's where national revival comes from. Every revival that has ever taken place began in the heart of one person. And then it spread. Maybe you should ask God, Lord, would you let that revival start in my heart? Let it begin in me. Lord, I want you to do something in my heart. Folks, that's where national revival must begin. The Lord is very clear that our hearts need to be right with Him and that we need to be in the Word and we need to be loving Him and serving Him. And that's when revival is going to come, when we realize we're in trouble and God has got to help us. He's just got to, or we're sunk. And that's where we are, folks. That's where we are. We should pray for God to do, to work personal revival in our hearts. Someone has said that there are three possibilities for America. Number one, return. That's the Lord coming back and taking His church home to be with Him. Then secondly, revival. Now, I'm good with number one. All right? But I'll take number two. I'll gladly take number two. But then the third option, all right, we got return, revival. But then the third option is ruin. And I'm afraid we're on the road to ruin, folks. That scares me. If Jesus tarries, we should do all we can to secure revival in our hearts. Righteousness exalteth a nation. You know, think about it, folks. God could have spared Sodom and Gomorrah if Lot could have just found 10 righteous souls. Think about that. Just 10. And God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, let's just make sure, folks, that even if all of America denies the Lord and denies His precious word, that there will be at least several hundred people here in Westminster, Maryland, who are still standing upon the foundation that made this nation great. Secondly, we should pray for our leaders. Man, we ought to pray for our leaders. We found out this week there ain't a whole lot of leaders. Then thirdly, we should exercise our right to vote when the time comes. And I know you say, Pastor, I did vote. I know you did. I did too. You say, well, if they cheat, well, we need to contact our representatives and tell them they need to start working on legislation so that that cheating can happen the next time. And just stay on them until something's done. And then we should make our homes what God intended our homes to be. Lawlessness begins at home, folks. It does. Lawlessness begins at home. Juvenile delinquency begins at home. Don't ever forget that. Now, our founding fathers knew what worked. They knew what worked. And that's why they put all that in our founding documents. And it worked, and it worked well for a long time. A long time. It worked for a long time. I mean, from 1620 until 1776, all that worked well. All that they wrote and all that they believed and all that they said, that worked well. And boy, people were flooding into this country. And they were bringing their Bibles with them. And they believed the Bible. And they preached the Bible. And God moved in a great way. Folks, we've got more of a history than from 1776 to today. For almost 200 years before that, the gospel was preached all over this East Coast of America. And so when it came time to found a nation, who do you found it upon? You found it upon your God. You found it upon biblical principles. That's why thou shalt not kill. That's why thou shalt not steal. That's why thou shalt not lie. You see, our nation was built on laws, and those laws came from God's laws. But now we saw old Skinny Neck stand up and lie day after day after day after day. No consequences. We saw him cheat. Not once, but twice. And folks, listen, don't fire me. Listen, I don't believe that Raskin fella got elected. That's just my personal opinion. I just don't think he did. I didn't vote for him. And I know a lot of you didn't vote for him. You told me. I think they cheated here too. After I watched the way that man behaved himself in that judicial committee over the last 4 years, and I let him know it too, that there was no way I was going to vote for him. I'd vote for Popeye before I'd vote for him. Seriously. I'd vote for Howdy Doody before I voted for him. We're in trouble, folks. That's my point. And they cheated? No consequences. They lie? No consequences. So we better do something. And that thing we better do is let God intervene. We've got to let God intervene. So I want you praying, folks. I want you praying. I want you to get in your Bible, and I want you to read your Bible. Start in the beginning and read your Bible. You hit a snag, just keep reading. All right, you read something in Leviticus, you might get over into the Psalms before you understand what you read in Leviticus. But read it. Love it. Learn it. Memorize it. Keep it close to your heart. That's our only hope, is if God intervenes. I don't know about you folks, but I want God to bless America again. Amen. I don't want to lose my country. I don't want to lose it to a bunch of social justice warriors who have to cheat in order to win. I just don't want to lose it to that bunch. May God help us to get our country back. And so I say, in closing, God bless America. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you now for this psalm and for this verse in this psalm that tells us that a nation is blessed when that nation has you as their God. And so, Father, I ask you to help this country. We're in serious trouble tonight. We are in grave danger of losing what so many have given their lives for since this nation was established. And Father, I pray that you will intervene in a great way. I pray for the Holy Spirit of God to convict men of sin and the churches of sin. And Father, I pray that folks will stand up and be counted for you and say, it's time we turn this around. And so, Father, bless, I pray, the church. I pray that you will bless our leaders. Father, I pray that folks will stand, and having done all, will stand and do what's right for a change instead of what's popular. Do what's right for a change. Oh, my. And so, Father, bless America. We need your blessing. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.